Hey, John.
Josh.
How you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I'm okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Pop Culture Problems.
Are we recording right now?
Yeah, we are.
All right, then.
There we go. This is a show about pop culture, but also apparently eating food. Because we love food. You and I are kind of, dare I say it, foodies.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Food is a part of our culture, food is popular.
Oh, yeah. And in some regions of the country, Coca-Cola or soda is called pop.
Oh.
And so, I mean, in different parts of the country, depending on your culture, you know, pop might be what you say. So we need to quit this. Anyway, this ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk...
This could be Coke culture problems. Or wow. Soda culture problems.
Yeah, Coke culture problems is another show, and that's actually more of a rehab-oriented thing. But we're going to talk about food today, and this might be one of a series of 100 shows. Maybe we should have a spinoff, Food Culture Problems, because that would be good, because we can talk about food all day. But we're going to just touch on some basics, you know, favorite foods, favorite types of food, favorite time of day to eat food, like things like that, just like... Food is so ingrained in our society. I mean, there the commercials about food, and even when you're getting into science and medical stuff and politics, food is in like whether it's good or bad for you, and the chemicals and allergies and all this kind of stuff. It's such a big part of our society. I think it's worth talking about.
Absolutely, and you know, you talk about science. I know that they didn't rub these chips in mozzarella and marinara.
No,
so
but
this is,
they taste
this is a scientific feat.
Actually, it is a scientific feat. Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe, right? So Mike Rowe did an episode where he went to the Jelly Belly factory where they manufacture jelly beans. And, you know, like, they had these Birdie Bot Harry Potter beans. They were, like, weird smell. It was like grass and feet and whatever.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
just gross.
There's actually a game you can buy now where it's, like, it's basically Russian roulette with Jelly Belly jelly beans.
That's a terrible game. But here's the thing, like
some
of them.
Bean Boozled or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. And like, when I first ate those, I was like, this does taste like grass. Well, what does grass taste like? Who eats grass, okay? Like, that's the first thing. Now, the vomit ones, I was like, yeah, that tastes like vomit. I have vomited before, so, like, but if it's, like...
The worst one was the skunk spray one.
Yeah, but when have you ever eaten that? It's a smell thing. It's an olfactory. It's not a...
Well, now I've tasted it, and it's not a good taste.
Now you taste it.
And the thing is, like, to get that taste and that smell just right, because you bite into that jelly bean. My nephew, we were playing the Bean Boozled game. And he spun and he got skunk spray. He, like, it got wet on his tongue, and I started to smell it. It, like, permeated the room. And so, the thing is there had to have been somebody that, like, tested that enough times.
No.
To say, hey, you know what? That smells just like
John,
skunk spray.
I'm going to rock your little world. They don't do that. They literally, he went to this factory, and they made a special Dirty Jobs jelly bean for the show. And it was Mike Rowe's dirty tennis shoe. So he took off his shoes, they put them inside of a machine that analyzes all the smells within the chamber, and it will output 5 or 6 different smells or chemicals that were found in the air, and they go to the different vials that they have those specific chemicals, and they just mix it like a recipe, 1 drop of this, 2 drops of that, and it's literally the identical taste and smell. So it's just a machine that just automatically makes it.
That takes so much fun out of it.
I know it does, but it's...
Big jelly bean ruins everything.
Big jelly bean. It was actually really cool because...
It is cool. The science of it is pretty cool. Yeah.
You just pop something in a machine, analyzes it, make the smell. And it's just incredible. But like, that is...
So you could do like Josh Armpit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if I could fit myself inside the machine.
Well, you could do like just a little drop a little hair in there or something.
Oh, yeah, something like that. Josh Armpit. And then you would never have to lick my armpit because you could just have a jelly bean
exactly.
With that flavor. But flavor is an interesting thing because it depends on the taste and the smells and the memories. And I think we talked about this, I don't know about this show or not, but the pizza, synthetic pizza smell, taste, I can't stand it. Like when I was a little kid, I got these Ninja Turtles Scratch and Stiff Snickers Nickelodeon GAC, and it's like pizza. And I'm like, that is not pizza. That was terrible. It didn't taste or smell right.
I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, it's the worst. It's the worst smell ever.
Do you have any laying around here where you can just scratch it?
No! See I would never like? Let that in my house. Not that smut. Just get it out of here. Get that out of here. And the John Oderman you can't.
Actually, I'm like that. That's one of the reasons I'm not looking forward to getting older. Is like as you get older, your cells in your nose, like your olfactory senses, get dulled. Like your sense of smell, because the cells and stuff start dying, and those hairs start dying and stuff.
Yeah,
and
that is actually a blessing. Because also as you get older, you start to rot.
True.
And so
absolutely.
You produce more smells. And so your nose is only making up for that and saying,
yeah, but
smell yourself.
Your food isn't, I mean, that's when you have to like start eating the spicier and spicier food because you need something with flavor.
Hmm. That is true. I never thought of it that you have to, you know, just keep compensating
for
that.
You
gotta
kick it up a notch.
Bam. Kick it up. Bang.
Emeril,
bam.
That's why he's Emeril. Popular among those. Retirement home crowd.
Because.
Bam.
Yeah. Do you. See, the next innovation for me, I think, for like entertainment in your home, is that 4D technology of smell. And they actually have prototypes of that kind of stuff. And I think. And I don't know if it's certain players. I think they have like certain displayers and stuff like that, but like,
but there's certain theaters that and stuff that already have that.
Well, and like any of the amusement parks and stuff, they have the 4D smell, but just for a home consumer usage, for you be able, just like a printer, to fill up your smell cartridges. Let's say you have 10 smell cartridges and it lasts you 5 years, and you can just be watching a movie and smell the pine trees or smell the burning. Now, you also don't want these nasty smells in your house, so it would probably have to be done in isolation or, you know, selectively.
What do you think Dagobah would smell like? What Yoda's planet in Empire Strikes Back.
Swampy? Musty?
I feel like it might smell bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm swampy.
Or the garbage compactor from on the Death Star.
I'm going to say swampy. I'm just going to say everything smells swampy. There are certain smells, I mean, they always say how smell is so closely connected to memory, and I think that's true. But food, equally. Like, if you eat something, I think a lot of times when you grow up, you eat foods that are not necessarily good. But there's that old phrase, oh, this is not as good as mom used to make. It probably is better than what your mother made. Your mother probably didn't have the best recipe, but you ate it, and it's nostalgic, and it has a certain, you know, I don't know, just like a memory attached to it, so it becomes delicious to you, and your taste buds are accustomed.
How dare I?
I'm just saying, John.
Disparage my mother like that.
Well, you know, if the disparagement fits.
It doesn't.
I'm just saying, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
and you just...
There are certain foods, like, if you smell them, you're like, you're taken back to...
Oh, okay.
A special place in your childhood. And
I recall, like, you know, there's synthetic cheese products, you know, like the, you know, cheese in a can or the big blocks of cheese. And, like, I recall as a kid, you know, eating that stuff, and that is not good cheese. In fact, it's not even good plastic, you know, but it has a flavor that you recognize and you remember, and so you just go back to it. So food is, it's nostalgic in its own right. It's like a good movie or a good TV show or a song. Like you can go back into time with food.
What's your favorite food memory?
My favorite
at like a restaurant, not necessarily like at home or anything. Let's go with like at like a restaurant. What's your favorite food memory?
Yeah, favorite food memory. I don't know that I have a favorite, like I can narrow it down to like one time, but I know that there are times that I've had an experience that was, you know, I'll give you a couple examples. Like I had the best au gratin potatoes in a restaurant in a Chicago hotel. It was a fancy restaurant. My waiter's name was Jesus. There was like four wait staff for our table of three, and they were just like totally serving us hand over, you know, feet fist. I don't know. They were serving us a lot. They had the little crumb combs for the table in between the meal. They brought us sorbet between courses. Like, it was just fancy restaurant. Yeah. And I recalled the au gratin potatoes, which I'm not a huge au gratin potato fan. I can eat them. And that just happened to be the best thing on the menu. Like, I was like, oh, cheese and potatoes, that'll be good. It was delicious. And I recall it being, like, so good. And I don't remember the name of the restaurant. I couldn't go back there if I wanted to, but I just remember that particular food.
Where was it?
It was in Chicago in a hotel downtown. But, actually, I do have a good food memory. One of the best single foods that I've ever had in my life are truffled mac and cheese.
I've heard this story.
That is just the most delicious thing in the whole world. And we had this really cool waiter in Las Vegas at Smith & Wolinski. And his name was Oscar. And there was a couple Oscars there, but he was one of them. And he was just a cool dude. Like, I think we tipped him more than we paid for any of our, like, Vegas shows that we went to. Because he was just, like, his own show. And at one point I said, this is, like, the best food I've ever eaten. These truffled mac and cheese with truffle oil and white wine and all this good stuff. And I was like, these are just the best. And he brought me the recipe. He, like, gave me a copy of the chef's recipe. Now, I've never made it because I know I wouldn't be able to do it justice. But it's kind of one of those things you want to frame and just kind of have there and be like, yes, that's the food I remember.
Yes, yes.
And that is, like, I think food sometimes is about the experience. You know, I remember foods when I was doing something I enjoyed as well.
And I think that you kind of touched on this earlier about how smell is so deeply connected to memory.
Yeah.
And you can, like, when we remember those great meals and those smells that, like, around those meals, we're remembering those, like, those memories and those experiences connecting it with that food. So it's one of those things where, like, do you really like the food or you like the people and the experience that you had while eating that food?
Well, since I hate people, I'm going to go ahead and say food.
All right.
But it could be people. Now, do you have a favorite food memory?
I don't know. It's hard to like put my finger on just one.
Yeah, exactly.
I do have one really kind of embarrassing food related story.
Okay.
And that was when I was like 4 or 5 years old. Four or five. I grew up on a ranch, so we happened to be in town, and we had gone to McDonald's for breakfast.
Okay.
And me and my twin brother were just jacked, super excited about how we were going to be able to get a Happy Meal. And they don't sell Happy Meals.
What?
At breakfast.
Oh.
I think they do now, but they did not back then.
So they were sad meals? And they weren't Happy Meals?
I remember to this day because I look back on it and I feel so bad for my mom. And I feel, like, so guilty that I put her through this. But it was, like, I screamed bloody murder for, like, 10, 15 minutes.
Wow.
And my mom was like, you know, can you just, like, I'll buy the toy. Can you? No, we don't do that, ma'am. And she's like, oh, well, I was like, because you just wanted the toy. And she's
you were inconsolable. Do you remember what the toy was?
I don't.
You didn't even care.
But we were there with my mom and my grandma, and they ended up, like, firing up the grill and making, like, a cheeseburger and fries.
But you didn't get a toy.
And we got the Happy Meal.
Yeah.
And it's, like, at 9:30 in the morning, and I feel so bad because, like, I look back on that now, and I seem to, like, recall, like, we got our Happy Meals, and I was, like, biting into my cheeseburger, and there was this other kid, and he was like, well, Mom, they got Happy Meals.
Oh, you're the worst.
That is the only time, like, in memory that I can think of, like, I can remember, like, myself, like, throwing, like, a temper tantrum like that and, like, getting my way. Maybe I should have done it more. See, no, but, like, I asked my mom about it, and she didn't remember it. Like, a couple weeks ago, I was like, Mom, do you remember this happened at McDonald's? And she's like, no, I don't. Like, I feel like that would, like, be burned into my mind, but it was probably so traumatic for her. She's just like, I can't think about that ever again because I would hate my son if I remember
John,
him doing
that. You have a wife and child now, so any negativity that they throw at you is totally warranted because karma's coming back and saying, did you like that Happy Meal? hope you did.
I hope that one time that happened with that Happy Meal isn't like a an excuse for the good Lord to throw just a life of suffering my way.
Yeah, I think it probably is. Well, you're also a liar. I mean, you were talking about, you know, I was disparaging mother and everything. She didn't even cook you home-cooked meals. She just took you McDonald's.
Whoa. You know? You've had her garlic mashed potatoes.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah.
You know, the other, it's fleeting. I had a food memory that was, this was a random example, but when food is satisfying, like, you can have something simple. Like, there's times that you can have a cold glass of water and it's a good food memory. You know, and absolutely. It's not no taste or whatever. And I remember being on a road trip and I went to the Henry Dorley Museum in Nebraska. And it was just a hot day out. And I had been out for like 2 hours in the hot sun. It was just baking out. And I got a frozen lemonade. And it was the best ice cream that I had ever had in my entire life. And it probably wasn't even that good.
Yeah.
Like, it was delicious, just the perfect, but it was just refreshing. Moment, yeah. And it just the planets aligned for me to be eating that. And
you know, one of the things, like, when I go to a restaurant, I like just suck down water. Like, I drink a lot of water. Like, if you're a waiter and my water is never empty, you're going to get a good tip. And my wife drinks like maybe like a glass whenever we go to a restaurant. When she was like 6 or 7 months pregnant, I turned and I was like, "Hey, what are you thinking for dinner tonight? Like, I can make something. What would you like?" She said,
"Water.
I'm craving restaurant ice water."
What?
And so we went to a restaurant down the street from our house, and she had like 5 or 6 glasses of water, and that's all she wanted.
She's a cheap
was
day.
just glass of water. Day. And you know, that is like the truth though. Like, sometimes you can't always like put your finger on what you want or what you need in that moment, but if you get it, you're just like,
that was
good.
It hit the spot.
Yeah, I'm good for about a week now.
You know, I am not much of a water person. And I used to be a water person. Or I'm sorry, I used to not be a water person. I am more now. But, you know, in the South, you just don't drink water. It's like sweet teas and sugary drinks and juices and Coke and everything. And I didn't drink water for like the first 20 years of my life. I'm sure that my body is either about to give out or preserve from all the chemicals and all the things that I drank. But I had a play that I was in where we drank alcohol. It was colored water. And I had to drink gallons of water every night for like a month and a half. And it was just something that I got accustomed to the taste. But I am more of a texture and temperature kind of a person. Texture plays a big part in food, but temperature, I don't like cold or hot things. Like, really hot isn't for like temperature hot, like piping hot, like hot to the touch, or cold things. So like ice water, not a fan. I just get it right at the tap.
Really?
Yeah, I can't.
Oh, ice water to me just hits the spot.
I never drink water at a restaurant because it has ice in it. I can down 5 to 10 glasses of water in a sitting if it doesn't have ice. But it's that cold, crisp water fountains. I find the water fountain that, you know, the compressor's a little old. And you know that the water, like the first couple sips, are gonna be
room temperature.
Then it's gonna, So I don't like that. Those new water fountains that is like this ice cold water coming out at a high pressure speed.
Oh, see, no. And I'm like, if I hit a water fountain and it's ice cold, I'm like, oh, this is delicious.
There is one
water fountain in particular that every time I walk by it, I have to take a drink because I know it's cold.
Well, and see, that's the thing. I do the opposite. You find this water fountain, and if you ever walk by and you see maintenance workers walking towards it, you just, like, you panic. Your heart sinks. You're like, no, don't touch it. It's perfect the way it is. The other thing,
you know, water, this is a riveting, riveting conversation that we're having right now.
It is. It's kind of, well, it's about people's preferences and favorites. So here's the thing. Like, with those water fountains, like, for me, the volume of water coming out,
that's
the
a
height,
huge, yeah,
the speed,
that's, those
the
are all factors.
It's all
Yeah, it's all part of this bigger picture.
You know, here's the thing. You could have the perfect water, but if it's just like a little spittle out of that thing, I'm not going to drink from that.
No.
But if it goes too high, too, I don't want to have to like try to catch it. I want the old reliable that I can like, I know what's going to happen, you know?
I like that even though we have differing opinions about what the best type of water is and all these things, we both have the same standards of our water fountains. Like, we take each of those factors and weight them equally.
So, like, when I went to high school, there was we had one on each side of this one wing, and there were three fountains on each of those water fountains. Yeah. And I would, like, wait in line at the one because I knew the other two sucked. And I didn't want to drink from those. So, like, I everybody did that. So, like, the line at this one, then there's two perfectly good working spigots on both sides of this one, but nobody went to them because it's just, like, you would think that, like, somebody would, like, eventually notice that and fix it, but for, like, 30 years it was like that and nobody fixed it.
Yeah, nope, nobody cared. My favorite water fountains, with one caveat, is the soda water fountains at, like, restaurants you go to, like, fast food places. Except you have to tilt your head back. I think that's so silly. Why not just make it come out like a normal water
fountain?
And every time I'm using it, I'm getting...
People are looking at you like you're weird.
I know. Like, so what are you doing over there? And I'm just like, hey, I'm just using the soda fountain. And it's delicious.
And sometimes, and they put the like they put the dispensaries too close to each other. So sometimes when you're hitting one, you're hitting two the other of them? One. Yeah.
And why do we have to bump it with your head? That's just silly. But I mean, the drink is delicious.
It's nice and fresh.
It is nice and fresh.
It'd be nice if they like if there was a way that you could just like take that to your table.
Nothing is worse. Now that people may have been getting the joke, if they finally got there. If they haven't got there yet, we're moving on anyway. So, you know, soda fountains, pop fountains, Coke fountains, whatever you want to call them. The worst, one of the worst things in my life, just, I mean... And I'm sure there's other things like war and, you know, poverty. But, you know, I'm saying satirically here, one of the worst things is when you fill up your drink and there's actually no syrup. There's no, like, soda syrup. So let's say you get, like, a clear soda, like a Sprite, a Sierra Mist. Yeah. And it's actually no, you know, sugary chemical that's in there.
It's just carbonated,
like the seltzer water, the carbonated water. That's the worst taste in the world.
You know, how do you feel about carbonated water?
I think it's the worst. I think you can just take a hike.
Yeah, but it's huge right now. Like, people are drinking carbonated water everywhere.
Well,
do you think that's big carbonated water just pushing it down our throat?
No, I think sometimes...
Big carbonation?
Like, I don't know. Like, I think maybe it gives a tingling sensation, like, you know, on the roof of your mouth. And people who smell their own farts, I think they also get that sensation. Okay, so they like...
Right.
What's it, ASMR? Isn't that what they call that? When you get that tingling all over your body? I think it's
maybe
I don't know. Yeah. Look it up, John. Google it. I don't know.
No, but like that is so it's so bigger than I think it's gross.
Yeah, it's just terrible.
Why would you take something that's good and natural and like you don't need to really improve upon?
And deep fry.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean no, that's okay. That's okay.
Deep fried water.
But I meant, you know, a lot of people would say the thing about deep frying just to say that it's not as pure. Why would you
Well, there are some things that you deep fry, though, that make it a lot better.
Yeah, that's true.
Things that aren't good that, yeah.
Like what?
Like toothpaste.
Deep fried toothpaste?
I don't know. I'm sure somebody's done that somewhere.
I'm just sitting here thinking to myself.
At some fair somewhere, they deep fried toothpaste.
Has a John tried it?
I have not.
Has a John tried deep fried toothpaste? That, what do you think? Okay, this is a totally separate food topic. Toothpaste as a food. I know you don't swallow it, but it's kind of like...
Am I an astronaut? Sure.
Yeah. Well, no, but I mean...
I'll go for it.
I just mean, like, food... You probably have food in your mouth less time than you have toothpaste in your mouth in a given day. Because people eat so fast, they're on the go, and you have toothpaste. So, like, a good-tasting toothpaste... Like, I mean, do you have to find that? Do you have a toothpaste that you always get
because of a certain taste? You know, kind of to bring this conversation full circle. Do you think we could get to a point scientifically where toothpaste would taste like a barbecue spare rib, but still fresh in our breath?
You can definitely do that.
Well, no, but the fresh in your breath thing, I think, is an important aspect of it. Like, could you have like an after effect of like, I'm brushing my teeth, it tastes like I'm eating a barbecue spare rib, but then like there's a, some kind of activation a minute afterwards that it actually freshens your breath.
Yeah,
so it doesn't smell like barbecue spare ribs.
Yeah, maybe.
If we figured this out, we would be billionaires.
Well, yeah, that's true. Again, I go back to some synthetic flavors are not good, and that actually reminded me of it. Because one flavor that they have made into everything is bacon.
Yeah.
And it is not a good flavor. I don't think that they've nailed it.
There's some things
they
that it goes with.
Nailed it.
There's some things that it goes with, but other things that it's just like, you haven't perfected this.
I don't think that anybody has. I had bacon chapstick, and it was the worst thing I've ever, like, and bless her heart, my Sarah brought it to me. She's like, look what I got for you, and it's bacon. I'm like,
does she really like bacon?
No, she knew that
maybe
I like bacon.
Maybe she just wanted some bacon-flavored kisses. Taco-flavored kisses.
That's getting too personal. That's getting into some personal territory, John.
I apologize.
That puts a bad taste in my mouth.
Oh!
Ah, we're just kidding. But my question was, which you just kind of went around, and I'm going to inquisition you here a little bit. Your favorite toothpaste. Do you have a favorite flavor?
Well, it's just, I use Sensodyne because that's what my wife uses.
Okay.
But
So you just don't... I forgot. When you get married, you don't even control the taste of your toothpaste.
I like the mintier toothpaste.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
What about gum?
I like fruit gum. Like strawberry gum is good. I like the
watermelon
like the,
is good.
Oh yeah. And any fruit flavored gum is good, but it's kind of like there's a lot of times where I'm chewing gum to kind of like freshen my mouth, and also like Orbitz and those other, they're supposed to like clean your mouth as well.
Okay.
Like, so if you're chewing it for that, I feel like it's kind of a, it defeats the purpose if it's a really sugary, tasty gum, like if it's a really sweet gum, but it's probably,
some of that's ADA compliant.
Yeah.
So.
ADA compliant?
American Dental Association.
Oh, okay. You were like Americans with this. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Sometimes acronyms stand for multiple things, you know?
Okay.
So, the American Dental Association. Yeah, they have ADA approved gum, and it can be fruity. I eat it all the time. I'm not a big cherry fan.
Oh, yeah.
Cherry
is a poor artificial flavor.
Yeah.
I think
and limes are okay, but I like a sour lemon.
To me, the two artificial flavors that they've absolutely perfected, knocked out of the park, strawberry and orange.
Yeah, I would also add watermelon and grape. And here's the thing,
grape has been perfected.
Nothing like a grape.
Yeah.
But grape flavor, like you can't even call it. Like, the synthetic grapefruit, or not grapefruit, but synthetic fruit flavor of grape. Because it tastes nothing like a grape that you would put in your mouth.
I'm going to blow your mind right now.
Oh.
Artificial strawberry flavoring. You know how some of it is developed? Where they get it from?
From the anal gland of a beaver.
I already told you this, didn't I?
No. I've known this for a long time.
But yes, that's where
the
they get it from.
Castor oil, I think it's called.
Jeez.
It's just, I like a lot of strawberry ice cream. So I have a beaver on tap in the back right now.
For your homemade ice cream?
Yeah. Hey, beaver, give me a squirt. I don't know if that's the sound
sounds
of a
beaver. Like
Let's make
some good beaver sound effects.
Beaver
noises
for the next 10 minutes.
But no, that isn't that crazy? Like,
It's not... Yeah, it's not as gross as that. Like, it does have that, but it's not like, beaver poop or something.
No,
like
that's true. But when you get into the synthetic flavoring and stuff, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, who was the guy that first okay, we've got the chemical composition, but where do we find these chemicals?
Yeah. Well, and I think sometimes words are invented at the same time. Like, strawberry flavoring was invented at the same time bestiality was. And so,
that's
some
awful.
Guy loved a beaver.
That's awful.
And I did it's terrible, but I'm just saying that sometimes, the words, they come at the same time.
That's awful. No, but like, I mean, Matt, I just like, how do you find out that that's where strawberry flavoring comes from?
Yeah, I know.
Like,
yeah.
What? How do you? Like, you're just like, hey, you know what? Let's take a look at that gland.
Well, some of it I think is the societal changes for some, maybe even worse for the some, but also like the primitive means of stuff. So, like, I'm sure back in the day, if someone trapped a beaver,
they used everything. Yeah, good point.
Like, yeah,
very good point.
So I'm sure that somebody might have been, you know, putting everything in a stew, and they're like, "This tastes strawberry." You know, yeah. Like what's happening? You know, I'm sure something.
That's
came
a good, yeah.
That
that's
way.
A very good point.
And like yeah. Now, we would look at that and say,
"Oh, that's gross."
Who eats yeah. beaver? You know, we wouldn't yeah. even get that far. You yeah. know, but like, I think sometimes we don't look gelatin, Jell-O, like having
yeah.
horse hooves and part. Like, and I know they don't. I don't think they use that anymore for it. But like, that was something that. How do you find that out? You know,
or like they used to use horse bones for glue to make glue.
Yeah, I still do. Got a horse in the back. Hey, just
you just got a stable back there with a bunch of animals just in case.
But I can do the horse. Better.
You know, just to kind of leave us with. I don't know what the name of the animal is, but it's one. It's in the. I think in Asia or Southeast Asia, but it excretes like it's sweat. Is the same chemical compound as popcorn.
Wow.
So it smells like popcorn when it sweats.
That's awesome.
And I wish I had the name of the animal, but I don't.
Put that thing on a treadmill.
Yes.
John, you know, speaking of treadmills and sweating.
You could just put one of those in like your movie room.
That is true.
And just put them on a treadmill.
Or you could just make popcorn. John, you know, I'm curious what you smell like when you sweat and what food... You smell
no, you're
so
not.
I'm going to put you on a treadmill right now, and we're gonna run you for a while.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to Pop Culture Problems. We'll see you next time.